What's up, model car enthusiast? 65 Lokes here. Hitting guys back with another episode for Scale Riders Podcast. This is episode 86 with my guest, Henry Espinoza, also a member from Down to Scale Model Car Club. Let's go ahead and hit up Henry and let's see what he's been up to lately.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Henry? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? All right, and you?
Yeah, pretty good. Welcome to the Scale Riders Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, dude. Man, it's been a minute. I think the last time I saw you was when we were out in the NNL West this year.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's been a while, dude, since January.
Yeah, wow.
Man, that's
cool.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
That's cool, though. It's good to hear from you. I was going to ask you, so... not only did you go to the NNL West, but you also went to the NNL East. How was that going out there to the NNL East?
Well, I've been invited to go for a couple of years, but I just like held back. Like, you know, I never flown before, so I was like, I don't know. But yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I flew out there and with Francisco and David Champion. And, you know, they told me, you know, it's going to be cool. You're going to have a good time. And, you know, there's a lot of cool people to meet out there. And, you know, the swap meet's pretty good too. You know, there's a lot of good deals out there and stuff and a lot of good builders out there. So, yeah, we flew in over there and, yeah, that show was pretty good. I mean, they have like a, you know, the builders out there, they're pretty good. You know, they got a lot of like, you know, different things, hot rods and stuff like that.
That's cool. Did you take some of your models out there as well?
Yeah, I only took four because, you know, like I never took any models on a plane, so I didn't want them to break or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So I just took four of my new ones.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And I finished that 47 Woody for that show.
Nice. And do you think you're going to go back like next year or in the future?
Oh, yeah. It was a good show. Yeah. People were cool. You know, there was a lot of people I met out there. Ted Leader, Chopper. I met the other custom builder out there. I forgot his name. But he does also custom work. I've seen their work on Facebook, but I never met them. But I met them out there, and they're pretty cool. And I saw also Ramon. Also, I met Ramon and his club. And there's a lot of people out there, a lot of cool people out there that I met, and welcomed me to the show. They're like, oh, you know, welcome to our show, this and that. And they're real cool people. They're, you know, they welcome me with open arms and all that.
That's awesome. And while you were out there, how was the area where all the sellers, all the vendors are at? Did you see any cool model car kits or resin parts that caught your eye?
Oh yeah, bro. The thing is, you can't buy nothing before the show opens. You have to wait until the doors are open to the public in order to buy stuff and stuff. But I saw a couple of things, you know, and yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that you find that you hardly don't find over here. I bought some stuff, but you know, there's more stuff I want to buy, but I can't, you know, make it all fit in my bag to make it back on the plane. So, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of resins, good prices on model kits and, just different stuff, you know, you find out there, you know, accessories for your builds, rims, wires, skirts, bumpers, chrome bumpers and grills and stuff like that, you know?
Damn, that's cool. Does it kind of trip you out like the NNL West out here? Obviously, there's more like a lowrider presence on the model car builds than out there.
Yeah. Over here, up north, we had just like a lot of more lowriders than over there. In New Jersey, it was more like more hot rods, more like, you know, like that, you know, a little few more lowriders, you know, it's more like hot rods over there, but they have a lot of detail. Those guys get down on the detail, motors and all that. They get down. I mean, their stuff is like real nice.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's cool. It kind of, I bet you like just seeing all that, it gets inspiring. Like, man, I want to get into that like detail and other stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, they their details, yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there that, I mean, a lot of builders out there that the detail on their cars and the paints and all that, like trucks and hot rods and all that stuff that they do customs and all that that they build out there. It's good. I mean, it's inspiring.
Do you still get the same feeling, like that excitement right now going to these shows as you did back in the day, like the first time you attended model car shows?
Yeah, kind of. Well, back then, like I was like new to it, so it was like wow, like when I went to a show, my first show, it was like where do you buy all this stuff? Like I was going crazy. I didn't know like where do you buy rims, where do you buy this. I didn't even know they made little figurines for the models that go inside the cars, and I was just like wow, like one day I want to, build something like that or be on that level or But yeah, there was no, yeah, back then it was like wow.
Yeah,
Like,
who?
everybody would
I was gonna ask you, like, how did you get introduced to model cars? Was it through a friend or?
my friend took me to the Compton Swap Meet. Downstairs there was a shop. The guy was named is Greedy Greg. His name was Greg. And I went down there, and he had nothing but hoppers and stuff like that. And like, I was like, wow! Like, I saw like some of his like bills. I mean, they were just like hoppers, but still, they were like Impalas and all that on Daytons. And I was like, wow, okay. So I saw that, and then one day I went to the Super Show, the 90, it was a 96, 97 Super Show, the sports arena. And I was walking around, and then I come across this one guy had his Cadillac parked right there, and he has like two ta like a table full of models, chrome undercarriage, chrome and gold undercarriage, candy flake paint jobs on these models. I'm like, wow, I was like blown away, like wow, where do you get this chrome? Like where do you get this and that? And it comes along, that was Francisco Briseño. That's Cisco. That's how I met Cisco.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, dude, like he had the 50 Chevy Suburban. He made a Suburban out of it. He had chrome and gold. He had this Cadillac flaked out. He had candy paint job on his car. And I was like, wow, like it just like blew me away. And I go, hey, bro, let me get your number, man. And he goes, yeah. So we exchanged numbers. And yeah, I was calling him, hey, man, how do you do this and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then I also met some guys that are no longer here, James Bonzel, Bobby Macias, and David Flores, aka Mad Dog. I met them. They lived near my neighborhood, my house. And one day there was a show, there was a model show a couple blocks away at a swap meet parking lot. And dude, they had these cars, man. I was like, wow. They had like had everything, low riders, bombs, everything. And I met those guys, and those guys were from Down on Scale when it really started. So those I started talking to those guys and hanging around them because they live like a couple blocks from my house, and they started introducing me to like all the this is where we're gonna take you to the spot, the store. It was called Big Kids in Torrance, and that's where like everybody was buying their stuff there.
And
So right there, that's where,
no, I was gonna say that Big Kids in Torrance, and that was a model store, or it was like they sold other stuff too and model supplies.
No, it was a little model store. It
Oh,
was a little
damn.
model store they had. Yeah, it was a little model store they had, and yeah, everybody was going there. Everybody that was building was going there, and I was just like, wow. And like, you would go there and meet people, that were also builders. Like, oh shoot, like they'll leave their models. They had a big display case where everybody would leave their models. I didn't even know these people, and I was just like, wow, whose car is that? Like, whose is that? And whose is that? Oh, I don't know. That's some guy that comes here, and I was just like, wow, man, these bills are awesome. They're like badass. Well, they had all kinds of stuff, but and then also I went to Pegasus, the one in Whittier, and that's They also had stuff over there. They had all kinds of rims and accessories and all that. Also met people over there at Pegasus and Whittier.
That's tight. Is that where you met like David Anthony Garcia? Wasn't he working at that Pegasus?
I met David Anthony Garcia at the Carson Kid Classic show. Mm. He had just finished the Highlander car, the 64.
Yeah. Okay.
And I seen him, and he was walking around, and I seen him in the magazine, but I've never met him in person. And he was walking around, and he looked like he hasn't slept in a couple of days. And I was like, "Hey, are you David?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm," you know, I introduced myself, and I'm like, "Man, you look tired." He goes, "Yeah, I just finished this car last night." I was like, "Wow, it looks incredible." And he's like, "Yeah." And started talking, and then from there, we became friends. And when I went to Pegasus, he was there, and we started talking. Yeah, he'd give you advice. Like, yeah, this is how you do this and that. And then other friends too would come to the Pegasus, and you know, we'd be talking to him and hanging around right there.
Mm-hmm. That's tight.
Yeah.
Just seeing that car, the Highlander. I never seen it in person, but just seeing it in the magazine, in the Lowrider Bicycle magazine, it looks crazy. And then even like just photos, when I Google it, there's still like new photos of it that are there of that car. And it's just a trip. Yeah. Like all that work and stuff that went down at that time back then with that car.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's real nice. Yeah.
That must have been really exciting for you. Like, you know, hanging out with the guys, like they're taking you to all these different spots, and you're just like, you know, they're exposing you to so many things that are going on.
I was hanging around with these guys from the club, and I was like the new guy, so they were just like, yeah, we'll go to this show, and they'll give me a ride because they live like, you know, close to my house. So, you know, I was going with them to show Carson Kid Classic, Victorville, Ontario, the California Kid Classic. I was going to all the shows because of them. And I was being introduced, like, I would, like, you know, meet other people, meet new people, you know. And, like, I was new, so when I go to the shows, I'm like, oh, man, I see these other bills. I'm like, oh, there's no way I could win, you know. There's no way. You would see other people's stuff and just be blown away, like, wow, you know. Like, it was just, like, amazing.
Man, that's cool. And were you buying up, like, a lot of kits and, like, accessories at that time?
Like not like right now, but I was just buying like a little bit. I would buy like here and there, like a couple kits and this and that, but not like now. But I was surprised that you could find all kinds of stuff at those swap meets at the shows. Mm-hmm. That you like normally don't find like a hobby shop, you know, because like they don't have this or that. And at the shows, the swap meets were like, wow, like you get great deals, you know. Mm-hmm. They have this, they have that, you know, skirts and bumper kits and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, the shows are always like, they're fun when you're at the swap meet in there. You do find a lot of great deals. People are just trying to get rid of stuff.
Yeah. And now it's like, wow, like you find all kinds of stuff now they're making all kinds of parts and things, and you know, like they didn't do before.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
So now we have like more stuff. Yeah,
that's a trip.
3D printers and all that. Yeah.
Did
find all kinds of stuff.
Did you ever go to the Dragon Shop for David Anthony Garcia when he had those meetups where people would like come over? Yes. And build together? Yeah. How was that for you? Like the first time you went to that?
First time I went to that, it was a small crowd, and then it got bigger and bigger. But yeah, we'd be there like, you know, just sharing ideas, talking about this and that, about back in the days and things like that. And we'd be working on stuff, and we come out there like late at night. We'd be there like 2 or 3 in the morning.
That's dope.
Like just working on stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And then we see David Anthony and his brother working on stuff, cutting stuff up, chopping stuff up, like nothing, like just gluing stuff, chopping and just customized stuff, like nothing, like it was nothing. We're like, wow, we can't do that. We can't do that. I can't do that, but they could. They were just like nothing, like it was nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. Just to see them get a car and chop it all up and extend the fenders and chop the roof and all that. And like nothing. Like, wow.
That's dope. I was looking through, like before I called you, like when I got home, I started looking through all my Lowrider Bicycle magazines that I have. And I was just searching and searching and searching. And then I finally, I came across one of the issues where they did do a feature, from one of the nights when they're having the gathering with everybody there, like the meetup. And it looks cool. 'Cause like everybody's like sitting down in a table, looks like working on their cars. And one of the photos someone's showing, it looks like a 61 Impala, like suicide doors. Like it's just work that they're doing on the car. And then you can also see, Willie Sr. is in there too. He's like,
oh yeah, yeah. He was there.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It looks dope. Like, and then, I had David, in one of the previous episodes and he talked a little bit about it as well. About what they would do. And I don't know. It sounds like it was a lot of fun back then doing that.
Yeah. 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 And then, we had people too, like, also like, they're like, they were selling models and, they had this, one of the friends on Caesar, Figueroa, he came and opened his trunk and goes, dude, he goes, I got too many kits. I'm selling some of my kits. And we go there and we're like, oh, I'll be like, let me get that one and that one. I was buying like all of his kits. Yeah, yeah. For a good price. Oh, ah, give me 10 bucks. Boom, boom, boom. Buy like four or five of them.
Uh-huh.
I go, you sure? He goes, yeah. He goes, I got too many. So yeah, I was buying kits off of him. And a lot of other people would come and they're like, you know, maybe selling like a kit or two, you know, that was a good deal too. But yeah, everybody was working on stuff. And then also David would have like a thing, like before the show, he'll have like a barbecue and everybody's working on their stuff and getting their stuff ready for the day before the show. He had like a barbecue at the shop and he had a table with all the cars that you're taking to the show all finished up and he'd have them all lined up at the table.
Damn.
And of course, mine didn't make it because my car wasn't done yet.
Yeah.
Oh. I had to stay up the whole night putting my car together for the show. That's which I did cool, a couple man. Of times.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a great time. Like that's pretty dope. I never knew that. You know what you're saying, like that they would before the show, like a barbecue. Like that sounds like a lot of fun. You know, making the because most of the shows are like on a Saturday. So or Sunday, but it's just like leading up to it. That's pretty fun. Making more out of the event, you know.
Yeah,
that's really tight. And
yeah,
how long would you say you've been building then when you like first started?
Since 97.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's dope.
Since 97.
And then yeah. I had I was talking with Juan Amezcua, and I had asked him. If he had one of the issues where you were first like premiered like one of your cars and it said it was Lowrider Bicycle magazine in the summer of 99. And then was one. And then there was another one that you did. They did a feature on you where you're doing the let me see. Yes. This was in the. As well, the fall of 99, though. This was like the following issue. And the article is called Made in the Shade. And how was that, dude? Like when you got hit up to do that, were you like, what the heck? Like, were you tripping out or how'd that happen?
Yeah. Armando Avila, also lives right here in Southgate, hit me up. And he's like, where do you live? I go, I live in Southgate. And he's like, Huntington Park. And he goes, dude, I live in Southgate. So, you know, we became friends and all that. And he hit me up one day. He goes, hey, dude, he goes, how would you like to come up with one of them tech articles? Like, how to do? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And he goes, you do sun visors on your bombs, right? I was like, yeah. And he asked me, he goes, well, how would you like to do a how-to on the how to make your sun visors? And I was like, okay. So they sent Nathan Trujillo, that used to work for Lowrider magazine, and he came to my house and he brought the cameras, lights, and all that. And he set up right here in my workbench in my work area. And he goes, okay, I'm going to take these pictures. And then he had me like make a visor step by step, how to shape it, how to make it, the glue and all that. And yeah, it was pretty fun.
That's cool. I've never met Nathan Trujillo, but. I mean, a lot of people, that name is just like, it's in a lot of our heads because of the magazine. And
Yeah.
I've always wondered, how was that interaction with them? You know, like very professional, like with the lighting and everything, like just setting everything up to get.
Yeah, he did a he did an article he did a photo spread on me first, and then no, he did the shoot here first at my house, and then he did a photo shoot on my cars at the studio. But yeah, real cool people, man. He came and brought some lights on stands, and neighbors were like, "What's going on here?" You know, you see this guy with, getting these lights out of his truck and the camera stand, and yeah, he came to my house in the back, and then yeah, set up all the lights. And it was like, yeah, okay, we're gonna take this shot like this and this shot like that, and you do this and that, and like, all right, and he make it look all cool. He'll show me in the camera like how it came out, and like, oh, it looks cool, it looks dope.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you were already pretty much aware of like picking up the magazine already.
Yeah, the magazines, yeah, they will come like every 2 3 months, they'll come out, I believe, back then,
And
Polaroid bike.
what was like your impression the first time you came across that magazine?
Oh wow, I remember I bought a liquor store around the corner from my house, and the first time I saw it, like, wow, like I was just blown away, like where do they buy the rims, or where do they get the paint, or like I was asking all kinds of questions, like I would see people's cars in there. Never in my life thought my cars would be in that magazine one day,
Yeah, so that would have been that must have been a trip when the opportunity came to like, hey, let's do this feature. And then having, besides the tutorial, having your car in there like that must have been like super cool to see that.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, like I was like, what? Like I couldn't believe it. Like, yeah, when it came out, I couldn't wait for it to come out. Like, when is it coming out? Oh, it'll come out like in a couple of weeks. But yeah, I was blown away when it came out the first time. I was like, yeah, I would see other friends of mine coming out. David Anthony Garcia, Cisco, and other friends of mine came out, and I was like, wow, but I'm gonna be next. But yeah, when it came out, I was like, wow, like all my family members like, wow,
Oh,
like
tripping out. That's
cool,
cool. Yeah.
yeah,
It's a
that's awesome.
trip because you're doing a tutorial, right? But at the time when you're showing it, you probably didn't even know how big of an impact that was gonna like be on people that have no clue and they probably wanna add a visor to their car. And they can always, the people that picked up that magazine re like refer to the tricks and tips and everything, and they're like, oh, dude, like I wanna try that on my car. So that's tight, man, that happened, because I know everybody, even myself, when I look at the magazine, it was always fun looking at the tutorials. There was times when they were going really heavy with like the hydraulics on the models too, so those were fun. And then it was always funny when they would do like a two part one and you had to wait for the next issue for the other part. And
Oh,
then
yeah.
I always heard stories of people being like, man, I didn't even get the other issue. I couldn't even find it at the liquor store.
Yeah, they'll sell out quick. I remember, yeah, they'll sell out quick. The lower bike will sell out quick. You had to go to a liquor store or whatever and buy it like quick, because yeah, they'll be gone. Like everybody will buy it.
Yeah, it's crazy because like during that time, it's like there was a lot of lighter bicycles. And also the model cars. It was just like those two scenes were very present at the time at shows and just different things. Like people were just everyone that was young and just having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
And
Oh yeah, everybody, yeah.
no, go for it. Go for it.
Go
Sorry.
ahead. Oh no, just yeah, like everybody just like, like the Laura Bike magazine, like just yeah, just seeing articles in there, and just like, like yeah, you would see like hoppers and or like how to do this and that, and yeah, it was just exciting for everybody. Like even like younger kids in the block, they were like, oh man, like can you do that? Can you do that? Like, yeah, well, I could paint a car for you, and they'll ask me for advice, like, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I'll tell them. But yeah, the Laura Bike magazine, it was always like, we'll always look forward for the next issue to come out. Who's coming out in the next issue? Like what they're gonna put in, or what, like what they're gonna put in, or what.
Yeah, I as I was looking through the magazines, it was cool that they were doing a lot of the local builders throughout LA and just like Southern California, and then they would shoot down to like the shows in San Diego, the ones like in Victorville. But then they would show stuff little by little. They were like bringing in like car model artists from other cities and other states. So you started to see like other different cars, like lowrider, their take on lowriders. And it was a trip. Like you see stuff, like there was some that I saw that it said like Miami, New Jersey. And I was like, dude, I need to take pictures of these and send them to my friends, like people that I know that live in those areas, just to see, do you know this guy or did you ever know about this club from back then? Because you never know. It's like a small world. Like everybody somehow knows right. each other, you know. And but man, it's a trip. Did you ever think like that car modeling would last this long? Like the way things are going. From back when you were doing it to now?
Well, kind of, but like, I remember it died for a little while. Like, it was going good, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, shows started disappearing and stuff like that. But then, like, it came back, and like, new people started, like, building, and it just blew up. But yeah, I thought, like, yeah, when I started, I thought it was gonna, like, yeah, be strong, but there's a point where it would like nobody was building, like people lost interest, and it kind of like, I don't know, like the show went away, the Victorville show, the California Kid Classic went away, and the San Diego show went away. So it was like what shows are there, you know? So people kind of like stopped building.
Yeah.
But then other shows started popping up, and then I guess it kicked off again, and people started building again.
Hmm. Man, that's crazy. I could see that because like in the magazines they show those shows, and I've always wondered like what was the reason why they ended, you know? And it could be various things, probably the funding or to get the spot, the venue, or maybe just people not coming out, you know, to it, that they're probably like dang, we can't even continue anymore, like that's it. And it does suck when there's nothing going on anymore. Like, I'm trying to imagine that, like, right now. Like, what if there was, like, shows that were just done? Like, that's it? I'm pretty sure some people will still continue building in their pad. But it's, like, some people probably stop just because it's, like, man, like, you know, like, the purpose of going to the show. Whether it's to compete or even just to go to hang out with your friends, you know?
Yeah.
And because everybody's like busy, and it seems like whenever there's a show, that's like the only time to like kick it. That everybody, you know, every model builder most likely is gonna be there for sure.
Like we would have shows, and we would like sometimes we wouldn't see each other for like months, and there'll be a show, and that's when everybody will get together. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? What you know? Where you been? And blah blah blah, and this and that, and then we'll go eat somewhere, and like a big group, you know, like in a big crowd, we'll go eat somewhere and just have a good time, you know, talk about this and that and blah, blah, blah. And just, you know, like friends just getting together and just, you know, getting together and having a good time.
Yeah. That earlier this year when we were in NNL, and you know how everybody was staying, majority like in that hotel, the night before, remember how everyone was like kicking it?
That was
your guys' room, right? Where everyone was like hanging out.
Yeah, that was our room.
Yeah, that was our room. I remember like I showed up and like nobody was, you guys were out eating or like kicking it. And and I was just chilling. I was just like waiting for you guys because I got there pretty late out there. And then finally, like, you know, everyone shows up and you guys are chilling over there. And I remember like just like hanging out, you know, and like, dude, there was like a lot of people in the room, but it was tight. Like everybody was doing something, talking, chilling, you know, showing the models, drinking, for real.
Drinking. Yeah.
And
somebody was filming that. I saw that somebody was filming with their phone, and you can see us right there taking a couple of sips.
I remember like not even thinking about it, you know, like about recording it or anything. I was just like having a good time. And then it wasn't until later, Jeffries was the one who busted out the video. And I was like, oh, dang, that's tight. You know, it's like the experience was so dope. And it was like recorded in my head. But once I saw it in the video, I was like, oh, dude, it brought me back. Like, I remember being in there. Yeah, and it was cool just because, you know, everybody, like, we're all building models and we're all coming to the show, you know? And and it's like, it was already getting late, but it, like, it didn't matter, you know? Like, I felt kind of bad. I felt like, man, I know you guys need to go to sleep. And especially because Cisco had to be there early. Cause he's a
vendor. We're tired, bro. We're exhausted. Yeah.
Yep. And I was like thinking, like, damn, when are they gonna kick us all out? Like, hey, you guys gotta bounce, you know?
We're yawning. See if they get the hint now. Yeah. We're yawning. See if they get the hint. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And I was like, oh man. I was like, hey, yeah, we're gonna take off. You know, I felt kind of bad.
Yeah.
You
know, but we're having a good time. Yeah. We're having a good time. You know.
It was.
I mean, what about when we went to the restaurant? Did you go to the restaurant? You went to a restaurant with us? Though?
No. That's by the time that I arrived, you guys were already done. I think you guys were getting ready to take off. From the restaurant?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
so okay. I met you guys over there at the hotel. Right when I pulled up, I was there for probably like 10 minutes, and then everyone started showing up.
Oh, okay.
But I tried to go out there, but like since I had driven up with one of my homies, I took him out there, and he grew up in San Jose, so he hadn't been there in years, and I was like, dude, let me we'll make a pit stop. I'll take you to like where you grew up or whatever. We'll check it out. And then from there, we got to go link up with the guys, you know. So that was kind of like one of the reasons why it kind of took me a while to, or else we would have been there at that restaurant. And next year that's coming up, I definitely want to go back again to the NNL. And I want to do the same thing, like show up like the day before. But this time I'm going to see if maybe I can get the day off because I know the drive up will be on a Friday. But if not, maybe get off at noon, like half day, and then just head out there. Be out there by like 6 or so. And like just in time, you know, to link up. If all you guys go again, you know, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Right there. And, is there anything right now that you've been working on currently, or have you just been busy?
I got a couple of projects I've been like working off and on, but I don't know, like, I got a shoebox and a 30-lane panel and a couple of customs, but I just got them right there. Like just working on here and there cause I've been busy, but you know, just off and on, I'll get them done.
Yeah.
What
are like your favorite models to build? Like, is it the bombs or the customs? Like, what are your favorite ones?
Well, I build, like, I build customs now, like bombs, customs. I'm getting into the low rods. I'm building a low rod coming out soon. But, yeah, I mean, the customs and the bombs, the Impalas, a little bit of everything. I like everything now. Mm-hmm. Back then, I was just building just, like, bombs, you know. I mean, I still build them, but I'm into like everything now, like everything, like, you know, hot rods, customs, bombs, but I'm mostly known for bombs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so
right.
I like the bombs.
On one of the articles on the Loiter, Bicycle Magazine, it had mentioned that you had an uncle that had a shop, an automotive shop in Whittier.
Oh yeah, Uncle Lupe, yeah. He had a shop.
What was the name of the shop?
Gomez Automotive.
Nice.
It was on on Imperial. I forgot the name of the other street, but he had a shop. He had a shop, and they a 50 Hudson. He had like rear cars. He had like a Nash. He had the Hudson. He had a Studebaker. He had like weird cars, you know, like he didn't. And then he had a 59 Chevy station wagon, a four door. He had a 59. But then him and my aunt got divorced. So he moved to Texas and they closed. He sold the shop.
Yeah. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm taking off.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. But yeah, I remember when I was, you know, young, he had those cars. And then my Uncle George, my dad's brother, had a 30 in the 80s. He had a 37 Chevy four door. He was socialized with the Duke's Car Club with Oscar Reles and Eddie Soler. He was friends with them, and they helped him build that car. And I was a little kid, I would see that car. You know, I was always seeing that bomb, that 37 Chevy four door.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you were exposed at a young age, like to the cars.
Yeah. Yeah, and my dad's always been a hot rod guy. My dad's has always been a Mopar. He's always had Plymouth, Dodge, you know, those kind of cars. So, yeah, I've been, you know, he's always had classic cars, but, you know, I like the hot rod style, though, the racing type.
That's cool. And would you get, like, a lot of, like, insight ideas and things from your uncle's shop?
Yeah, I would see, like, every time we go visit them, he would have, like, a, you know, different cars that they're fixing or you know, fixing the engine or whatever. I would see their, you know, the cars that would go there, and I was like, wow, these are nice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get ideas, like, oh, one day I'm going to build, like, something like this or, you know, something like that. You know, I would see the visors and the skirts on them. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would see different cars, different type of cars, even customs. They had customs in there once in a while getting oil change or whatever.
Yeah, that's cool. And in that article, they also mentioned Ronald Campos. Is that a model builder or a friend?
Ronald Campos. Ronald was a neighbor that lived a couple blocks. He's the one that took me to the Compton swap meet.
Oh, okay.
One day I was at his house, and we're looking at the Lowrider Bike magazine. And I go, man, I go, I wonder where they sell these rims. And he's the one that told me, goes, Ronald Campos, he's not a model builder. He was just like, he will buy the magazines, but just, you know, just to trip out on the cars. But he told me, oh, I know where they sell the rims. I go, dude, you got to take me there.
Yeah, that's
tight. So he took me in his car. We went to the Compton swap meet. We go downstairs, and he goes, there's a little shop right here. And we go there, and that was the hobby shop down there with Greg was the owner. And yeah, it was down there, and man, they're expensive, man. I paid $20 for a set, man. This is back in '97.
Yeah. Wow, that's more than the model car kit.
Yeah, dude, I'm like, how much? Like, yeah, but he put it together. Like, he put the knockoff, he glued the knockoff on it for me and everything. He put the tire, he glued the tires on the rim and everything. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm just tripping out, you know?
Yeah. Dang.
But, yeah, he introduced me to the hobby shop.
That's where it started, no? Right there.
Just yeah, like... If it wasn't for him, I would have known about that shop. So I had to give him some credit on the magazine, you know, mention his name, because he's the one that got me started on that.
Yeah, he must have tripped out. He saw his name on the mag later, like when he got it. He must have been like, what? That's dope.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, he was.
There's a. I remember back then when I would visit relatives in Anaheim, and my cousins, for some reason, they were always like, "Hey, let's go to the indoor swap meet. Let's go to the indoor swap meet." That was like their scene. That was like their mall, pretty much, going to the indoor swap meet. So I would be like, "All right, cool, let's go," and they just wanted to walk around. You know, they'd get like a licuado or a juice and just like, you know, be checking out girls or whatever. And then I remember there would be like an area where someone would be selling shoes. And you remember like the back, well, even till now, like when they have like a shoe on the wall, on the stand, they wrap them with the plastic.
Yeah.
And I remember always like tripping out on the shoes, just looking at like the Reeboks, the Nikes or whatever was out at the time, you know? And I remember next to them was like an area where there was a display case, and inside of the display case was a bunch of like Lowrider model cars, like hoppers and just different cars, like little displays. And I was always like mesmerized, you know, I'd walk up and be like, dang. And I was scared to ask the guy like how much it was or what, you know? But I always, we would be walking around all the aisles, and I was like, oh, I'll be back. So I would separate myself from my cousins, and I would go over there to go check out the stuff. And that was like as close as I could get to like exposure to something like that in a model car. And then it wasn't until like later, once when I started getting into the model cars that I started to see the magazine, the Lowrider Bicycle. So
Okay.
later in print, that was like the next thing that kept me more like inspired. Like, oh, I wanna build something like that. But like just like you, where do they get these rims? Where do they get this car, those seats, and all this stuff. And you know what's so funny is Hoppy, no, Pegasus was selling those swivel seats. It was like some little like tiny little bucket seats kind of thing. And I remember like the first time like the hobby store got those in. He had on the resin, you know? And
I remember those.
I remember like I bought them, and like my friend, he bought four, like two sets, so he could have four of them. And I only bought one set because I figured, well, I'll use these like for the front seats. And in my head, I'm already envisioning like, oh, I'm gonna like create a little post and then put the seat, and I'm gonna glue one sideways, like if it like it's turning or whatever.
It's just swiveling,
Yeah, and then my homie was like, "Oh, I'm gonna glue mine to the back, to the back of the bench of the seat, and then I'm just gonna fill it in with Bondo, like around the seats, like in the holes where they were gonna be at." So now it just looks like that molded like look. And I remember just like him having that idea, telling me, and then doing it. I was right away being like, wow, like, dude, you're taking this to another level. Like, it was so funny. And like, we didn't even know what we were doing, you know? It was like that time
Just
when
being
you,
creative.
yeah, you build the model in a day, you know, just spray it. And then by night, it's already kind of dry. All right, let's glue it. And it's like, all right, we have it done. But it's funny, dude. Like back then, like certain things that I'll do with my friends. And then, I don't know. Then hearing like your guys' stories and everything, it's a trip, dude. Even looking at the mags and being like, wow, like you were doing this already back in the day. Like, this is crazy. And were
Not
you,
a lot of glad creations,
yeah, dude. When you came out on the mag, were you already in Downscale at that time or not yet?
It was I got in like in 97, 97, I was already in a member of the club back in 97,
That's cool. And you guys would just go to like different shows like back in that time?
Just show like that. Some of the guys that I was hanging out with, they live right here close by me. They would, give me rides to the shows. We went to the San Diego one with Gary Seeds. We carpooled with him one time, went all the way to San Diego, and then with another club member to Victorville and to the California Kit Classic, which is Ontario, went over there. That's where I met Armando Flores on that one when he when Armando Avila busted out with this Vegas car. I remember that was way back.
That's tight.
But those shows were like wow. Those three big shows, those were like the three big shows. You went to those three big shows, you were like wow.
Those were like the main ones to be like competing in.
Those were the main ones, the three big ones, And you would go there and just as soon as you walk in the door, you're like, oh man, you're just like, man, you would see everybody else's stuff is like badass and the paint jobs, the flake and the chrome and gold undercarriages and the motor details, you'd be like, man, you're not gonna win. No, but I had a good time. I had a good time. It was just for fun and meet new people,
How was it like seeing Gary Seed's cars back at that time when, you know, when they were being like already in the magazines and everything, and then to be able to see them in person?
I seen Gary in the magazines, I didn't know who he was or what, but I just remember seeing him in the magazine. And then my friend Manny Cifuentes, he was also a member of Downscale. He told me we went to Big Kid's Enterprise in Torrance. We went up there to buy some stuff. And he goes, hey, I'm gonna go to my friend Gary's house. And I go, Gary? He goes, yeah, Gary Seeds. I go, you don't know no Gary Seeds. He's like, yeah, he's my friend. He lives right here. I'm gonna go to his house because I need to get something from I don't know what. Okay, so we went and I waited in the car. And then he gets off and he goes to, through the back. And then he comes back and he signals me like, hey, come here. Like, come here. So I'm like, okay. So I get off the car, go through the back. There's a guy standing there. He goes, this is Gary. This is Henry. And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm thinking, well, I don't know who this guy is. And we go to this back room and wow, this guy, Gary had a, he had those glass houses all flaked out, patterned out. And other models all like, wow, well, you're that Gary. He's like, yeah. And my friend Matt goes, see, I told you I knew him. I was like, oh, wow. It just blew me away. I was like, I had no, I didn't know that was him. I didn't know he knew him. He goes, yeah, I told you I knew him. I was like, wow. And that just went off from there. But yeah, I met Gary there and he had all of his stuff right there, all of his, that he was working on. He just painted a glass, one of his glass houses, and he had like a couple of more done. He had other cars he was painting. I was just like, wow. It just blew me away when I saw his cars.
Yeah, dude. That's like a rare experience, I bet, right there. Like, you know? Who, like, you would think, like, it's not like everybody was going over there to his house. You know, I bet. It must it must have been a trip. Like, you got that your friend, you know? He's like, he took you. Imagine if you wouldn't have gone or anything with him. But that's cool that you went.
Yeah, like he would give me rides because I wasn't I didn't have a car, I wasn't driving, but my friend Manny would give me rides to Pegasus. I mean to Big Kids to buy stuff, you know, parts and stuff. And he told me, he goes, I'm gonna go to my friend Gary's house. I'm like, well, Gary? Yeah, Gary C's. I'm like, nah, you don't know Gary C's. You know, I didn't believe him. But yeah, once we went in the house and I saw the cars, I was like, wow, yep. I was just like blown away.
That's cool. And then little by little, you started seeing them more. Like,
We'll go to his house and, you know, we hang out. And, you know, he was president of the club and me and Manny were trying to get in and he would see our work and stuff like that. And then, yeah, we got in and yeah, we became friends and all that. And we were going like hanging out. We'll go to the shows like to San Diego and stuff like that, and just, you know, hanging out with Gary.
Wow, that's
and it's
tight.
A trip, yeah, because a lot of people are like, oh, you know Gary? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, that's so dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a podcast, too, while back, not too far back, but some previous episodes back, and it was dope, like, being able to talk to him. I had never spoken with them, you know, we've never met in person or anything, you know, but it was cool, like chopping it up with them, talking about stuff, models and everything. And I was like, more like, man, I want to meet them in person now, you know? I mean, that's a lot of history right there with Gary. And, like everybody, you know, everyone like knows him. Knows his work. It had like a big impact on a lot of people.
Yeah.
With this stuff. And even now, like, I like flipping through the old mags and just looking through them and seeing like all the stuff. Even like some builds of like people that I've never heard, or they're just there once, like, or really, like, you know, it's cool. Yeah. It's still cool to see all that was like there. And I always wonder, like, I wonder if some of these people are still building or what happened to them, you know, like, where are they at now?
Yeah.
And
some people, like, I don't know, they lose interest maybe, or, mm-hmm. or I don't know, or they're busy or I don't know. But yeah, some people, like, they stop building or they just, like, I don't know, moved on or I don't know. But yeah, some people, like, I wonder, like, if they're still building or what.
Yeah, and then also, like, whatever cars they built back in the day, if they kept them or they got tossed or, you know, where they're at, you never know. They might be in the garage in a box somewhere, you know, all just preserved right there. And it's crazy. But, yeah, I feel like there's a, like how you said, you know, like, now it's like there's a lot going on. A lot of people making, like, parts. It's, like, more accessible. It's more exciting.
Yeah,
there's a lot more now, it seems like. And even like the shows now, I feel like when there's a show coming up, or even like a meet, like one of the hangouts that people are doing, I feel like now people are promoting it a lot better now. they're getting the word out more of what's going on. So now, especially just through like Facebook or Instagram, it's helping a lot to spread the word even further right there.
Yeah.
So it's always like, whether you're going to go to, if you're not going to go to a model car show, you're probably going to go to like a 101 skill, like a real car show, you know?
Yeah. Like a real car
show. Yeah. Yeah. But it's always like your interest in cars is never going to go away. Like, it's always there. It's just the time. Like, do I have time to work on my model, or do I have time to go to this show? And just, I don't know, making that decision right there. I really like that 62 Impala, the wagon that you did.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Dude, that thing's tight. How long would you say it took you to build that car?
That one, I think, maybe like 2 months and a half, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I bought that wagon my first time going to the In-N-Out West, 2003. In 2003, I went to the In-N-Out up north, and R&R was there. That's an R&R resin.
Nice.
And man, I remember R&R had like six tables, nothing but resin.
What?
And other casters too. Yeah, they told me when I went with the guys, they told me, hey man, you go to this show, you better save up some money, man, because.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot of goodies. And sure enough, man, I spent a lot of money that first time.
Yeah.
I bought a lot of resins. And they told me, hey, don't buy no more stuff, man. We're not going to fit it in the van. But I bought a lot of stuff that day. Yeah, but that 62, people asked me, where'd you get it? And I said, that's an R&R. And I bought it like in 2003.
Yeah.
2003.
They're no longer in business, right? The R&R, or are they?
I don't think so. I heard that the guy passed away, the owner.
Yeah.
I heard he passed away, but they had a lot of good stuff. Or maybe I heard that maybe somebody picked it up, or somebody bought their line or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah. This last N&L that we were at, there was a vendor who was selling a bunch of resins, and a lot of them were like custom. You know, like Mercs, some Fords, and I regret not just buying the stuff off of them, because this guy just wanted to get rid of it, dude. Like, almost give it away, you know?
Oh, really?
And yeah, he had them. The thing is, when you walked by his table, it didn't really look like he had much, you know? Like, he wasn't really selling like car kits. It was just like resin that were like in little white boxes. And and he didn't take them out of the, sometimes they take them out of the box and they display them on top so you could kind of see what it is.
Right.
He had everything inside, and then he had it inside of another box. So it almost looked like he didn't unpack. Like, it was just, he just kind of put it on top of his table. And he was selling, I remember the reason why we stopped at that one was because he was selling some Hot Wheels, like Lowrider Hot Wheels. The Revell ones. The Revell Lowrider ones. So I remember he was selling them for cheap, like $3, $5. And I was with Juan, and we were just picking some up. And then I noticed he had a 59 Impala model kit, but this was like a 132 scale.
Uh-huh.
And I was I was like, hey, how much do you want for this? And then he had two 59s and then a Thunderbird. Man, I can't even remember the name of the Cadillac. It was like a 59 Cadillac. And they were all 132 scale. And I was like, how much for the Impala? And that fool was just like, he's all, give me $20 for all of them. Just take them all. Give me $20.
Oh, wow.
I was like,
wow.
All right, cool. You know, so I bought those. I already got the Hot Wheels. And then everything else, he just had like some magazines, like papers. Like, it wasn't really anything that I was really too interested in. And And then later I'm like, what is this resin? And I start picking through all of them. I start opening all the boxes one by one, just looking at it, putting it back. And I started to see like some Ford panels and different things that I had never seen before. And after a while, I was like, what kind of car is this? You know, like, what is this? Yeah. And he's just like, oh, it's this. Like, he would tell me what it was. And
you'd be surprised what you find those little boxes.
And I kept thinking, like, man, he's probably been holding these for years too, you know? But I was just like, hey, how much are they or what? And he just was like, well, which one, how many do you want or which ones, you know? And I was already like, oh man, like, this is going to be the time to make some type of deal with them, you know? But dude, I wasn't like, at the time I was like, I don't know if I want to buy a bunch of resin, you know? Because you always got to get the donor kit or whatever, you know? So yeah. I was like, I don't know if I want to.
You got to clean them up.
Yeah. And then I started thinking about the cleanup. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this right now. So, you know, once we came home, dude, I regret it. I'm like, fuck, I should have just bought all that stuff up, you know? And dealt with it later, you know, one by one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah. You find stuff out there, like, at the Internet West or East, you find stuff out there, like, you know, they got stuff in boxes and you just unbox. Oh, shoot. Like, I found some stuff that in New Jersey, I found some stuff that I didn't even know they made in resin, but I found some cool stuff, man. I'll go, I'm taking it with me, you know, like, how much is this? And I give me $5 here. Boom. How much is this? 10. Boom. Like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they got like people selling plastic kits, you know, at a reasonable price. Some of the vendors, they're kind of expensive, but there's other ones that have good deals, you know, and those are the ones that go quick. You know, you better get it or somebody else is going to, you know, buy it. That's happened to me at swap meets. Like, I'll see a kid and how much you want for it? Like, he goes, oh, give me 15. Like, all right, hold on. And then I'll go talk to, I don't know who out there, and then I come back. Where's that car? Oh, I just sold it. I'm like, oh, damn, you know, somebody, you know, got it, you know? Yeah. But it happens.
Yeah, that sucks when that happens right there.
Yeah, you better get it quick, cause you'll regret it.
Mm-hmm. And
No, I was gonna say we had the shows here at the Johnny's Brawler back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have the car shows here, and then they had like a model, like a little model contest, like in the middle of the, like where the they had like an aisle, like where they have like a the model contest back in the days. And a lot of people back then were building bombs, like Mike Mendoza, David Flores, a.k.a. Mad Dog, rest in peace. He was from the club also. Back in those days, they were building bombs and building, you know, like just, you know, Impalas. And I was young back then. I just remember looking at their stuff and be like, wow, you know, like that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And they also had the real car show out there, you know, they had their real cars also, the real bombs, and then they had their model cars over here. And I thought it was like, I looked up to them, I was like, man, that's cool, you know? Yeah. the real car, and then he has the models, you know, he does models too.
Yeah, that's bad.
A lot of people back then, and then they try to tear down the Johnny's Brawler, they try to tear it down, and people are like protested or whatever, so now it's Bob's Big Boy. But they do shows there once. They don't do no more model shows, but they do car shows there once in a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, but that was one of the inspirations that I had, you know, when I was younger.
Yeah.
Back in the days.
What was there any like specific like model car builder from back then that would like inspire you, like an individual?
There's a few when I was young. Like I said, like Mike Mendoza, he's from the club. Back then, he's a Duke's Car Club member. David Flores, rest in peace. His name was Mad Dog. He built a lot of bombs and showed me a lot of stuff, a lot of, you know, how to do's and all that. Who else? Bobby Macias was from the club. When I met him, he was half blind, but he could detail an engine. I mean, he could detail an engine on a motor, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he was half blind. James Bonsell also, he was from the club. He's no longer with us. And also, he built a lot of bombs, customs. He built everything. And I looked up to him, too, because he built a lot of, like, stuff that I was like, wow, you know, like, I want to build like that one day, you know?
Mm-hmm. And
those were like back in the day, those were like, you know, I looked up to those guys, you know, and I was like young and trying to get into the club, and they were showing me like how to do this and that.
Man, that's tight. And like isn't it a trip that like, it's like you never stop learning. Like even till this day, you're doing something and it's like, you're always learning something new. Are you still, like your process of the way you approach a model car, like when you're going to start it, is it still kind of the same from back then, or have you like kind of switched it up? Like when you're prepping a car and getting it ready for paint?
No, it's been the same. There's more headaches with resin because you gotta like, it's more prep with resin because, you know, if it's warped or not, you gotta fix that, or you gotta make parts fit on resin. It's more like preparation on resin, but not more. It's still the same, you know, like since back then. But now that I know how to like, you know, do it, I could do it quicker because, you know, I've been doing it for so long. I could just prep it and sand it or whatever, sand all the stuff that needs to be sanded down and get it ready for paint. But resin is more, it takes more process for the resin because, you know, resin, you got to clean it up depending who makes the resin, how thick it is. You know, you gotta do all kinds of stuff to do it, to make everything fit, the interior tub, the engine, the chassis. So there's a lot of more steps on the resin that you got to prep in order for you to paint.
Yeah, I remember one day I was talking with Willie and he sent me a photo and he's like, check out this Riviera that I have. And I was like, oh, that's tight. It was like a Jimmy Flintstone Riviera.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, check this out. In the next photo, he's holding it upside down. And he's like, dude, this thing's like a brick. And it was all thick.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like, I was like, dang, I never seen that before.
Oh, yeah. Like, some of the resin out there is like real thick.
Yeah, it wasn't even hollow at all, you know? Like, because I was kind of like, what are you going to do? Open up the windows or the doors? He's like, dude, this thing's so thick.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like, hell no.
Yeah, there's some resin out there. Yeah, back then it was like super thick, like looked like a bar of soap.
Yeah.
And I seen people that owned resins that are like, man, look, check this out. Like, damn, where did you get that? Oh, I bought this way back in the day. And I'm like looking at it, I go, man, it's like a bar of soap. Like, yup. I was like, wow. But, you know, that resin's like 20, 30 years old. And, yeah, like some of it's like real bad. You know, some casters are nice. They, you know, they're nice and clean. You know, like the interior fits perfect, you know.
Yeah.
You don't got to do a lot of cleaning, but there's something like, you have to work on it, you know? There's something you have to work on it, you know? Like, or even if it's warped, a bad case, if it's warped, you got to fix it. You got to fix the roof if it's, you know, or the pillars are leaning, you know, twisted or leaning one way, you got to fix them.
Yeah. Do you pick up a lot of like the Jimmy Flintstone resin?
Sometimes, yeah. Like when I was out there in Jersey this year, I met Jimmy Flintstone.
Oh,
he had a couple of tables.
How was that?
Yeah.
Meeting, like, how was your experience? Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. I was talking to him and like, hey, man, I buy a lot of your products and this and that. And I told him I had some stuff on the tables that it's his product. Like that 39 Merc, that turquoise one I told him, I got one of your products. I have it on the table over there. And he was like, oh, okay, I'll go check it out right now. But he had like some new stuff. And he had six tables, five or six tables out there. And they had some new stuff out there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, there was this one, I bought a couple resins from him, but there was this particular one that I seen and I go, and I walked around and talked to people. I came back like an hour later and they were all gone. They were all sold out of that one that I wanted. I was like, ah, shoot. He's like, oh yeah, they're sold out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, wow. I last time I placed an order with him, I ordered a couple resin bodies and I thought it was cool. He hooked me up with like a few small little, these like a couple of little figurine heads.
Oh yeah.
Cause you know how he casts other stuff besides the cars. So he gave me a couple of these little heads that I could just paint or whatever. And then this little like Hot Wheels like logo that he that he casted with resin, and he just threw those in there like some freebies. But I thought those were pretty cool. I was like, oh yeah, man, cool. Like he hooked it up. And yeah, I do have quite a bit of his products. And and I've always wanted to meet him. I've never met him at all. So that's pretty dope that he was out there at that show.
Yeah, he was out there. A couple of casters were out there.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm going to have to make it out there, like, in the future.
Oh, yeah, you got to, man. You got to. Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. You know, like, the people are nice, and everybody, like, hey, what's up, man? And, you know, this and that. And they saw the club shirt, and they're like, oh, man. They told me, they're like, oh, glad you made it out here, and hopefully we see like, more members come out here. I'm like, yeah. Everybody was cool, and, you know, I got introduced to a couple of people. They're real cool, man. Well, I had a good time. And they even asked me, too, would you come back next year? I said, definitely, I will come. I will come again. Mm-hmm. And they said, all right, that's cool. But, yeah, a lot of people, I got a couple of handshakes out there when I was walking at the display show where they had all the models displayed. Some older men, gentlemen, I don't know what club they're from, but they're older, like, you know, like in their 60s or 70s or something like that. And they asked me, was that my 47 Woody? And I said, yes. And they shook my hand and they told me, oh, that's very nice work. I go, oh, wow. I said, thanks. Thanks for the compliment, you know. I was, like, blown away that they like my stuff. Because they look like they've been doing it for a long time. Yeah, mm-hmm. They look like they've been doing it for a long time. And they look like they're picky about stuff. But, yeah, they were giving me, like, credit for my stuff. And I was like, wow. It's, like, blown away. Like, oh, thanks, you know. Thanks for the compliment. And they're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's tight. That Woody, prior to going out there, did you already, had it complete, or were you still working on it before you headed out there?
It was finished like a couple of days before I flew out there. Uh-huh. That's a Jimmy Flintstone resin. And it took me like almost like 2 years to finish it, cause it was like off and on. And then, there was some stuff that wouldn't fit because I didn't grind the inside of the body like I was supposed to. Mm-hmm. So I had some difficulty with the interior to make it fit. But finally, I found out the problem was and fixed it and got it all together. That was what was holding me back from finishing the car. I would have finished it a long time ago. So I put it away for a long time and just said, I'll get it done someday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got it done. I got it done. And they're just like, wow, you know, and they liked it, you know, they liked the car.
Yeah.
They had all the, you know, the motors all detailed and, you know, you could see the tires in the back, you know, they're like, oh, we can see the tires in the back. The car's low, but you can still see the tires, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah. And then I made the skirts for it. I made the visor for it. I made the sergeant stripes for it, all styrene, just stuff like that. That's... And they were just like, oh, wow, it looks nice. And I said, oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, it must be dope, like, for them to see something, like, you know, something different from out here,
mm-hmm.
like, over there.
Yeah.
Because even, like, Cisco has told us, like, dude, you guys need to come out here to the show. Because, that's, like, for him, he goes to that one, like, pretty much often now, right?
He's the one that, me and him, we work together, so... He's always telling me, dude, you gotta go. You know, he's the one inviting me to the show, you know,
mm-hmm.
up north and, you know, here in Santa Clara. And then the one in New Jersey, he's like, come on, dude, you gotta go. And I go, I don't know. So this year I say, you know what, I'm gonna go. So we got the tickets and everything. And yeah, man, I mean, he's trying to make like other people go too, you know, like, dude, you guys got to come down here and, you know,
yeah,
and check it out.
How did you guys get the tickets like way in advance?
Yeah, we... like in January, I think. January, February, we bought them.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. He told me, let's get them, like, quick. Let's get them, like, advanced, you know? That way we, for sure, we have a, you know, a ticket to go.
Yeah, it's like you're going. You're going for sure. And, yeah, because once you start waiting, like, when you don't get them ahead of time and you're just waiting and waiting, eventually you make up your mind and go, you know what? I'm not going to go. But this time you... Bottom, it's like, all right, we gotta go. You're locked in.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, you gotta go. Yeah.
Yeah. It, like, if you go back next year, do you think you're gonna bring like a bigger luggage to bring more stuff back?
Oh, Well, the thing is, I got a lot of stuff. I'm not really trying to buy like more stuff because I got a lot of stuff. I got stuff in boxes in my dad's garage, and it's like getting out of hand. But like only I buy stuff that like I've been wanting or I've been looking for. But just other than that, I'm not gonna buy like nothing. But the stuff that I bought out there this year, like all those like the resins and stuff, I've been wanting them and I don't have it, but it was just a few. But I might buy something here and there, but not like, like before, like, but just stuff that is like, that'll catch my attention or I'm looking for to build, but not like before. No, I might just buy like a few things, not too many.
Yeah. I'm guilty of it too. Like I got a lot of stuff like here where I'm living at right now. And then I still have a lot more stuff over at my parents' house in their garage.
Oh, wow.
And after a while, like I'm always like, cause I put them inside these like plastic container bins. So I can't even see what's inside until I open it. And,
oh, wow.
And there's stuff that's like stacked. Right. So I gotta open them, and then at first I look at all of them and I'm like, damn, why do I have so many models? Or what the heck do I have? And then I tell myself, man, I need to get rid of some of these. And then I bust them out and I start like looking through them, sorting them. Then I start to find like, oh, wait a minute. These are like Impalas. These here are like Fords. These are bombs. Like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to sell these, It's like,
yeah, because you never know if you're going to get them back or you're going to find them.
Yeah, for real. That's why I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to hold on to them. Because like some of them, when I really want something, I'll buy like two or three. But when I'm just kind of like, I'll just buy one of,
Yeah.
And
just to have it.
Yeah. Because it's funny. Like there's a 65 Chevy pickup truck. And it has like a sidestep, and I remember buying it. Revell makes it, and I remember buying it at Hobby Lobby, and like I remember before I even opened up the kit to work on it, I was so tempted to buy another one, like a second one of the same kit. Then I said, nah, you know what? Let me work on this one, and then let me see how I feel after. So that kit, when you make the hood, you have to like glue like three pieces to the hood. So you glue the sides and then the front piece on the bottom. All these pieces go on the bottom of the hood, pretty much like surrounding it. And I remember gluing it, and like during that time I wasn't using the CA glue or accelerator at all. It was like,
using,
I don't know if it was like Tamiya glue, it was just like some, or just tester's glue, some random glue that I was using. So when I would put it, it would like hold, and I was holding it, and then as soon as I would take my fingers away, the thing would move, like it would like fall off or just kind of or like move to the side, like bend or whatever, like lean. And I'm like, oh man. So like I struggled so much to glue the pieces to the top of the hood that I just kind of winged it later, like, nah, whatever, I'll just put it together. And then I assembled it, but that hood like pissed me off, I was like, man, what the heck. And then once I was done with the car, I was like, man, I never want to build that one again.
And I remember I was using Crazy Glue back in the day before I used the AC. I was using a Crazy Glue back
then. For real? Oh damn, how'd that work out? I never tried that.
Well, it'll fog up the chrome. It'll fog up the chrome. So you had to like be very careful, just like a little dab, just like a little dot.
On
there. It'll fog up the chrome. Yeah. I didn't know about the glue, the acceleration and all that. I didn't know about that until later on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, you think,
I remember back then fogging up the windows, también. Like putting the glue, and then all of a sudden it just looks all crazy. My friend would be like, he would put a lot of glue in a corner, and then it would like fog up and kind of, it would react. Like it looked kind of like it would crystallize the corner or something. And my homie would be like, oh, I'll just say like he was driving and he got shot up or something in the window.
Yeah, I would hate that. Yeah, I hate that when that happened. Yeah, the window would get all fogged up.
Mm-hmm. It's a trip. Do you still have all your cars from like those first ones you started with from back then to now?
Yeah, I have some of them. Yeah, well, yeah, I do. Some of them are falling apart because they're old. But yeah, I still got them.
That's cool. I have a couple of them now, or a few of them. One of them, I kind of like took it apart. That's why. But the other two, they're still like, however I left them glued, the way I left them back then. I still have those till this day. And pretty happy that I kept them, because I always look at them and I go, damn, on this one I didn't even use primer. It's just,
oh wow,
straight just paint to plastic.
Wow.
So it's like crazy. Is there any advice or tips you would want to give like listeners out there or up and coming model builders?
Just, you know, keep building, you know, just keep building and you'll get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep building, go to shows, you know, go to the shows and meet new people like I did, you know, like go to the shows, meet people, talk to people, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, they'll like give you advice, like how to do this and that, where to get this, where to get that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, just keep going to the shows.
Yeah. And then
you'll meet a lot of new people.
Definitely. And then maybe go on eBay and look up an old issue of Lloyd or Bicycle Magazine.
Yeah, that too. Like back then, we didn't have internet. We didn't have none of that back in, you know, back when I was building. You couldn't go to your phone and look at, let me see what they posted at the show. We didn't have none of that, you know. We had to wait until the magazine came out.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's
now so you true. could just go on the, you know, on the threads, you know, and just look at, you know, Facebook or whatever and just see the stuff and comment or ask questions. But back then we didn't have none of that. You had to go to the person's house or see the person in person, just tell them, hey, what's up, you know, how you do this and that, you know, or the shows, like we would wait for the shows to come out, like in the magazines, the San Diego, the Victorville and the Ontario. We had to wait for the magazine to come out so we could see who made it in the magazine or what came out of the magazine.
Yeah.
What shows were going to come out next.
I can imagine like the photographers just taking so many pictures of so many cars and everything, and everyone's curious. I wonder if I made it, if I made the cut.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Oh, I wonder if my car made it or they're gonna, you know, make it or they're gonna cut it out or what. But yeah, everybody was waiting for that.
Yeah, that's tight. I always liked the posters or like the page spread.
Yeah,
where you could cut out like the page, put it up on your wall, or when they hook you up with the little Lloyd or magazine, the red license plates.
Oh, yeah.
Those were pretty tight.
Yeah, they had the magazines. Yeah, you cut them out with an X-Acto knife, cut them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
Those were the days, dude, and you lived through it right there.
Yeah.
Do you ever wish you could go back in time?
Yeah, man. I mean, I've lost... I lost a couple of friends that, I mean, I wish they were still here. And when I met them, some of them I only knew for like 4 months when I met him. Bobby Macias, he was a real cool guy. And he had a big collection of model cars in his garage. But he had diabetes. So he was sick. He was in and out of hospital. But he showed me how to, like, the detail of the engine, how to, you know, work it and all that. I remember one time it was me, Gary, and Bobby. We're at Bobby's house right here in Huntington Park, a couple blocks away from my house. We're right there, and he was showing us that he was detailing a car. And we're just looking. I'm like, man, you know, you're half blind, and you could detail like that? You know, we're like, wow. You know, we're like all shocked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he was a good builder, and... he was from a real cars, 50s car club called Strictly 50s back in the day. So he'd been around classic cars too, but he got sick and then he passed away. I only knew him for 4 months. And then Mad Dog also, he was from the club too. And he moved to Arizona, got sick and passed away too. But yeah, there was a couple, you know, guys that you know, I wish I would spend more time with them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're no longer here, but they taught me, they opened the doors for me to, you know, go through and showed me the way. And they taught me a lot of stuff, you know, like when I was really beginning to build. And there's a couple more guys that that they know what I'm talking about that are out here where in the area that I'm at. Mm-hmm. They knew those guys, you know?
Yeah.
And we missed them, but, you know, they were from the club. They were from downscale from when it started. And I'm pretty sure Gary misses them too, because Gary, it was me and Gary that was hanging out with them, you know, back in those days. Mm-hmm. We're hanging with them.
Wow.
And, yeah, we talk about them here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, those guys were good builders too.
Yeah, that's great that they, you know, were showing you and teaching you guys too. Like, it's like, even though they're not here, but still it's like their message, or, you know, they help you with something. They left something behind for you.
Yeah, they did.
That's great. That's pretty cool. And yeah, I mean, it's like now all you can do is like remember them.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And
did you
ever take like photos or anything at the time of like their work?
Let me see. James Bonsall, he's in a couple of, he has a spread. He has a couple of, I think he has one or two spreads.
On the lawyer bicycle?
Bobby, okay. No, I don't think Bobby didn't make it to the magazine. Mad Dog, I think David Flores, yeah, he has like, I think it's like a couple of cars that came out, not in a spread, but like in a couple of pictures that were in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did a 55 with I think he did a 55 with flowers on it. Like, it looked like it was going to a wedding or something like that.
Okay. I'm gonna have to look for that. I wanna see that.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a few people know, they know who I'm talking about. They knew who they were back in those days. David Anthony knew them. Froggy knew them too. Because he would see them at the shows.
Yeah.
And James will go to his gatherings at the Dragon Shop. So yeah, he remembers him too.
Yeah, dang. Yeah, it's crazy,
man. Good work.
Yeah, it's a trip when, like, you know, like you're kicking with your friends and you never think like something's gonna happen or they're gonna be gone, you know, especially so soon.
Yeah.
Like you said, you knew him for like 4 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's tough.
And it was funny because I talked to him first at this show right here, the one I was talking about earlier about the Swami, the back of the Swami. They had like this patio, big patio where they had the show, the model show. And I told him, I go, whose cars are these? And he's like, oh, these are a couple of the club members. What club is this? He's like, oh, it's downscale. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's when he presented to me James. I go, oh, I'm Bobby, and this is James. Like, okay, I met those guys. And then, oh, that's Mad Dog, David Flores. I'm like, oh, okay. So I met those three at that show. And that's how it all started.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I met those guys, and from there, it's history, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, you know, like I met those three guys, and those three guys, you know, showed me the way.
Wow, that's cool, dude. Right there. Yeah, because you got to think, like, whenever you're, I bet you when you're working on a car, you're thinking about them, I bet. Like,
oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. I got some other, like, when they passed away, I bought some other stuff. And, you know, I just bought it because just to, you know, for memories, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Some nostalgia.
And, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're gone. But, like, the new guys don't know about them because, you know, these guys were, like, from way back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I remember them, you know, because they taught me this and that, and they took me, you know, for, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have gone to the shows, Ontario, Victorville, San Diego, you know, I was carpooling with those guys, you know,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm grateful for those guys because those guys showed me the way and they were nice enough to take me, you know, take me with them to the shows.
Yeah, no, definitely, dude. That's always cool when you do that for someone, you know, because, you know, you know that they're going to enjoy it as much as you. And you're kind of like, let's go. Like, I'll pick you up. Like, you know, it's like, I'll do whatever, dude, but we're going.
I mean, they live a couple blocks from my house. So it's just like, hey, you know, I'll just help you with lunch, I'll buy you lunch or buy you gas money, whatever, you know, I'll help you out, you know, just if you can give me a ride. Yeah, we'll pick you up, all right? So, yeah, so they'll come, you know, come pick me up. And there, it was convenient because they only live like 5-6 blocks away, you know?
Yeah.
And then come pick me up and go to the shows. And then that's when I started meeting, you know, Froggy and Mondo Flores and all them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because of them taking me to the shows and stuff.
Man, that's crazy. That's tight. It seems like that was like the time. Like, there's the magazines out. You got all these hobby shops and like a lot of model builders like busting out at all these shows.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Oh yeah.
Is there
everybody
any
was busting out back then?
Back then, huh? Like, and then like how you said, there was no social media, no internet. So it's like you had to wait for that anticipation to see who was going to bring what.
I had a video camera. I was taking videos, and they used to make fun of me because I had a big video. It was my dad's video camera. It was a big camcorder, and I was videotaping the shows. And
on the way.
And everybody's, yeah. I was videotaping the shows, and I, those guys that I'm talking about, I got them on film. I got them on video, but I taped like a couple of, a lot of the shows I taped. And, you know, I have those memories, you know,
mm-hmm.
like back in those days from way back, from the 90s.
Do you still have the tapes?
Yeah, some in the garage. I gotta dig through them.
Is it like VHS?
Yeah, VHS. Yeah.
I still have a VHS player. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, let's link up.
No, I do too. I have one too.
Dude,
but we gotta convert it to a DVD. We gotta convert it to DVD.
I'd love to see that footage one day.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty dope, yeah. Dude. Imagine like
I remember there was a time I made a couple copies and gave it out to the friends like a couple years back. I made some copies and I was giving it to some of my friends that, you know. But yeah, like I was videotaping the shows back then. They would see me with the camcorder. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, there's a picture of me on one of the Laurel Bike magazines, and I'm filming a car. They took it's a Carson Kid Classic. They took the picture from way up high. And you could see like the whole show down there, and you could see me like kneeling down and filming a car with that big camera on my shoulder, and you could see me in the show. Yeah, it's in one of the magazines.
Well, I'm gonna have to look out for that. That's dope. I'm writing this down. You're giving me some homework now to look up. That's tight.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Dude, what was it? I remember like my dad having a camera back then too. It was like goes on the shoulder. You would have to charge up the battery, like for a long time, and then you pop in a VHS in there.
Yep.
That's tight.
Yep. And everybody was like, "Oh, you're filming the show." I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh, let me get a copy. Well, give me a tape. Give me a blank tape. I'll make you a copy."
Dude,
yeah, everybody wanted copies. Like, well, give me a tape. Give me a blank tape. I'll make you a copy.
You should dig those up if you have them. Like, look for them. I would love to see that, like those videos.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I got a couple people that are no longer here that are on those tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, other friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun.
Tell Willie, let's do a premiere. Throw them on, and we can watch them.
Huh. Oh, that sounds cool.
We could get a projector going too.
Okay.
I don't know. We could do something. That'd be kind of dope, right there. Get like a big, not like a crazy big screen, but just all we need is like a wall, like a screen, and just like throw it up on there. But if not, like on the TV.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
Take it right there. You'll be able to take us back in time.
Oh yeah.
Through those videos.
Man, way back.
That's dope, dude.
Way back, yeah.
That's tight. And is there anybody you want to shout out on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. You know, all my friends, all my club members from Downscale, other clubs, you know, out there that know me, you know, want to say what's up. You know, just keep building. Keep building. Keep going to the shows and build.
Nice. And where can people find you if you want to reach out? Just through Facebook? Because you're not on Instagram, huh?
No, not yet, no.
Okay.
Just Facebook.
Cool. So we'll, in the future, keep me posted once you get that, like the Instagram, and then that way I could put your link onto the episode.
Okay.
And people could, you know, check out your stuff. You should, man. You should post a lot of your stuff. We would love to see that, you know. Definitely. Yeah. It's always nice to see, and then plus you get to motivate people as well. So that's always
That'll work.
That'd be dope. Well, dude, it was a pleasure having you on the podcast. This was fun.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And hopefully we get to see each other soon at one of the future shows. And if not, I know for sure we're gonna see each other at the NNL West.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. That'll work.
Yeah, and then we'll see what's up. Maybe next year I'll be able to go and meet up with you guys even at the East with you and Cisco.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
That'll be pretty
cool. Yeah, that'll be nice. Awesome. That'll be cool.
Well, thank you, Henry, and I hope you have a good night. And thank you for taking the time for doing the podcast episode with me.
Oh, thank you very much.
Cool.
Thank you for having me on your show. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, bro. Later on.
All right. All right, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.
All right.